Isn't this a sports show?
How do I make a button work over here?
Do I need to come in there?
No, absolutely not. Not allowed.
I don't know what you've done.
At the commercial break, by the way, we'll fix this. Freaky Friday our way back.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe.
Will we?
I don't know.
Almost entirely.
How do I play?
Just click
a clicky button.
Click. You just
click
part
one of
three
the
has to be on. You click on it.
What did you do?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Which hotkey are you clicking? What are you trying to click?
I don't want to tell you. Don't come in here, Beers. No, Beers, go away!
But see, if you don't, I know you don't want to tell us, but at some point, you kind of have to give us something.
I'm trying not to hit the breaking news one, and it's not playing.
Is Cart 3 up?
Yes.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Jason.
Hey, ask Jason.
So why isn't this playing?
Oh, because this is old audio. It's being rejected. You have jammed up the whole. I need to reboot it.
See, I asked you if there was text in the top left corner.
April Fool's, Jason.
No, kidding.
Okay.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Mercifully, we're all back in the chairs that we should be in. And we're all here for 4 hours of AES this evening. We're with you till 10 o'clock tonight. And we'll talk about just a whole bunch of stuff leading all the way up to the end of tonight's show. We will talk about all things with Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 at, 7:30, I think? The NFL draft with Jordan Foote of Arrowhead Report at 8. And then little David Leske to talk about the round ball sport at 9. Rain and time and situation permitting. But I'm Josh Briscoe. I'm here. Rudy Salazar is here. Beards McFly is on the other side of a couple of panes of glass. And it's got a little toasty in this room whenever we shut all the doors and everything. I'm feeling slightly toasty in here right now.
I feel perfect.
Yeah, that's how you know it's not good. That's how you know that you've really lost the plot.
It's great.
Is whenever Rudy is like, yes, this is perfect weather for me, a cold-blooded reptile of some sort.
Then it's just perfect.
Rudy, how many jackets are you wearing right now?
One.
He's wearing a hoodie underneath it.
He's wearing
a long sleeve t-shirt, Beards.
With a hood on it. I mean, I would say that it is a hoodie, but it is not a...
It's not like
it's
what
not
you
a
and I
sweatshirt
are
wearing. It is
not what we're wearing.
It is what I'm wearing.
Yeah, it is the same material as a t-shirt, just has a hood.
Mine is like a dry fit hoodie.
But it is as thin as a t-shirt.
It is as thin as Beards' skin, metaphorically speaking. It would be crazy if Rudy had like ordered a shirt that was the exact to the millimeter same thickness as Beards' actual skin. That would be, I think, unpleasant for a variety of reasons for a variety of people. Not the least of which would be Rudy, I think.
I'm the real victim in that situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's bad for everybody. I don't know why I took it there. This show's accidentally gotten kind of into that headspace a couple of times the last few shows where we just start, I don't know, making jokes about cannibalism or whatever. Next thing you know, we're talking about the hoodies, the thickness of human skin. It's weird. I don't like it. Something else I didn't like is where we will start the show today. I've already told you, we're going to talk to a bunch of people about a bunch of things. And, of course, let me mention this off the top. If you'd like to interact with the show, watch the show, you can do that on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch channels. Twitch has really been the one that's popped off in terms of being able for you, the listener and the viewer, to talk to each other over the course of the show, interact with each other, then we'll interact back with you. And we've even got a little new thing for the commercial break today. We're not all the way where we want to be, but we're taking little baby steps trying to get the video feed up and running. So if you want to go at least check it out, at the very least, you can see, you know, the various forms of hoodies that myself, Rudy, and Beards are all wearing. And, you know, if that's not a good enough reason to get you there, I don't know what it's going to take. But the thing from today that I thought was interesting, I want to go back to Tuesday night, our conversation with Seth Kizer, later on, talk about some Chiefs offseason things. I was already kind of intrigued by the idea of going back and doing a little bit of a, I don't know, it's not really post-free agency. There's still some room for improvement, still some guys that have yet to find a team. And it's not quite pre-draft because we're not fully there yet. But it also feels like we're through the first several waves of free agency, and the Chiefs have more or less made their choices to this point. And nothing fully brought some of my more disappointed feelings to the surface than, strangely, Michael Irvin today. I didn't even know. I would have guessed that Michael Irvin had a podcast, probably. But I didn't know that Michael Irvin had a podcast. Now I do, because Juju Smith-Schuster was on it. Now, I'll do a little refresher here at the front end. The Chiefs were apparently in on a handful of receivers. A couple specific names were very publicly known. We got, like, the offers and everything. We got all the information you could ask for on the Chiefs' offer to, I think it was Josh Reynolds, right? We got a good amount of information about Juju Smith-Schuster, then guys like Nate Taylor, I think, specifically mentioned a couple other guys in kind of that in a similar class, saying the Chiefs were interested. We know beyond the shadow of a doubt at this point, the Chiefs were really interested in adding a ready-to-play, sort of plug-and-play, legitimate number two wide receiver that could be added into this offense. They didn't end up getting one of those guys. Will DeMarcus Robinson perform well enough in that spot this year if he has to be there? Maybe. Could Mecole Hardman take another step? Sure. As Seth pointed out on Tuesday, we should probably keep in mind almost every, if not literally every, offense in the NFL would trade their weapons for the Chiefs' weapons. But that's not how the Chiefs think. It's not how you should think either, right? That would have been true with or without Sammy Watkins. And the Chiefs still went and chased down Sammy Watkins, maybe overpaid Sammy Watkins initially. And then even last year, they could have cut him outright, freed up a little extra space. They restructured his deal, kept him around. I think they could have ended up saving about $7 million more and spent that money elsewhere last year. But they said, nope, we are going to hold on to Sammy Watkins one more year because we don't want to just have top-heavy weapons. We don't want to just have really good weapons. We want to have an overwhelming array of weapons around Patrick Mahomes. A theory that I very much subscribe to, that I very much enjoy. Don't make if Patrick Mahomes can turn DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, Derek Jeter into stars, if he can get those guys paid or whatever, then great. But don't force that if you can afford to splurge a little. Well, the Chiefs were in on a bunch of guys this offseason, including Juju Smith-Schuster. It was reported, I believe, from a variety of places, but the tweet that I have up here now is from Taylor Biscotti of NFL Network, and she tweeted, these are the offers, source tells me these are the other offers for Juju Smith-Schuster. He ended up going to the Steelers on an $8 million deal for 1 year. No incentives, just 1 year, $8 million. The Chiefs offered him $8 million with $3 million in incentives. Don't know if those were likely to be earned, not likely to be earned. Those are important distinctions because if they are not likely to be earned, they would end up on next year's cap hit. But we don't know what they were. You can split the difference and say, you know what? I bet he would have made $8.5 million or $9.5 million in that deal and would have missed out on half. That's whatever. Whatever you want to do there is fine. It was $8 million for 1 year plus $3 million in incentives. The Baltimore Ravens offered Juju $9 million with $4 million in incentives. And I listened to a whole bunch of this conversation. I'm only going to bring you one particularly great snippet from Juju Smith-Schuster on the Michael Irvin podcast here in just a second. But he talked a little bit more about his logic, and it was essentially what we thought it was, which is you've got 1 year regardless. Would you rather go somewhere where maybe your ceiling is higher, which it would be in Kansas City, or would you rather stay in a place where you know them and they know you, and you are comfortable. You are, frankly, for Juju Smith-Schuster this year, his one-year deal, if it was going to be in Kansas City, Baltimore, or Pittsburgh, is essentially going to be a Juju Smith-Schuster free agent showcase. If you've had NFL Network on at any random point over the last couple of months, which we have in the studio here constantly, you'll see free agent showcases. You'll see a battle of the former number one overall picks. There was a Kyler Murray-Matt Stafford game from last year that they were re-airing. Because you got to fill that airtime somehow at the 24-hour sports network about a sport that's not currently happening. But you'll get the free agent showcases games where guys like Juju Smith-Schuster go off. Well, for Juju, this whole year is a season of that. He's going to hit the market again next year. And The best of Juju Smith-Schuster could get paid. Like, the best form of him and his best stat line is legitimate number one wide receiver stuff. Now, he hasn't been that really these last couple of years. 2 years ago was because he was catching passes from Myles Garrett's punching bag and a guy named Duck. And last year, his role in the offense changed a little bit. But this year, for whatever reason, and again, I think it's, I understand it, even though I'm not a huge fan of it. His second year in the league, he had 1,400 yards on 111 receptions. That'll play. He didn't get anywhere. He got close to that these last 2 years combined, just for a little, you know, marker of the difference between his first and second year, 900 yards, 1,400 yards, and his last 2 years, 550, 830. Missed some games both of those years. He also missed some games in his rookie year, but he actually played all 16 in 2020. So for Juju Smith-Schuster, it's all about where can he put out the best numbers, where can he look the best, where can he, what spot is he most likely to be able to use for a jumping off point? He explains, one more year with Ben, an offense that he knows, receivers coach that he likes, quarterback who likes him. All right, fair enough. But then a little bit later on, in fact, as I was listening to this podcast, I was starting to get confused because they like totally left the free agency conversation for like 15 minutes of the podcast. And then Michael Irvin asked a question that got an answer from Juju that is going to make at least some of you, I think, pretty sad.
Juju, if it wasn't Pittsburgh that you signed back with, yeah, just take Pittsburgh off the list right now. Who would have been your next choice? Who was the closest to getting Juju Smith-Schuster?
The teams on the list.
Next choice, yeah, team on the list.
Would have been KC.
You'd play in KC. You just couldn't bring yourself to sign with Baltimore. Is that it because of the division rival?
Yeah, that too, and just looking at, you know, I'm curious to see how they're going to be this year. You know, happy Sammy Watkins, and you know how they're going to use him and throwing the ball and stuff like that. Lamar's a really a heavy run offense, you know, with the backs that he has, and that's just, you know, that's just point being facts. You know, his number one target was Andrews, is a tight end, and I think, you know, it just seeing KC and like. Bro, Andy Reid was just calling me, and then he was sending me Lombardi trophy pictures, like, constantly. So I was like, and we had a good talk, so it would have been KC after the Steelers.
Hey, Coach Reid was sending you Lombardi trophies.
Yeah, like, pictures of the Lombardi. Like, texted to me, like, while I was trying to make a decision. And, you know, I have so much respect for, you know, him and his team, so, yeah.
I think this is really interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a little peek into a version of Andy Reid that we don't get to hear from all that often. Andy Reid, just straight up recruiter. Andy Reid, with a sense of humor, trying to get a player to his offense. Said, hey, Juju. Man, they're trying to make a decision. But here's a picture of the Lombardi trophy. Just, I don't know if you want one of these or whatever, but like, I got one. We're going to win more here. Just if that's something that, like, you would be interested in. All right, never mind. Here's a picture from another angle. Look at this. Have you ever seen the back of a Lombardi trophy before? I have. Could look at it every day. Could see it on my desk.
Whenever Andy Reid FaceTimes him, he's just got the Lombardi trophy sitting behind him, no matter wherever he is.
Yes. He's actually got Mike Kafka at all times. Can get to Andy Reid and just hold the Lombardi trophy behind him, but Kafka's like sitting down underneath, like holding the trophy up. It's like clearly moving. It's absolutely not stationary, but he's just holding it up behind Andy Reid at all times whenever he's on a FaceTime call with Juju. I think we were like another day of free agency away from Andy Reid doing a TikTok to try to get Juju Smith-Schuster to Kansas City. And it didn't work.
Oh. We got a question on Andy Reid's commitment to the Chiefs. If he if he went into the offseason without at least 5 TikTok videos in his drafts, like ready to go, you got to question the commitment, right?
Got to lay out, Andy Reid. You gotta pull the trigger. You gotta make the you gotta learn the Corvette dance, Andy. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid's got to be able to Corvette.
You got the Corvette TikTok. You got the behind the scenes of the Corvette TikTok. You got the bloopers of the Corvette TikTok. You got to have all the Corvette TikToks.
We've seen Andy Reid dab before. That's on the internet. Is after some win he goes, because I think it's a GIF somewhere, or it's like somebody, mm-hmm. I think there's somebody on Twitter that I see pretty frequently or something has it as like their avatar. I can't remember exactly where I see it frequently, but I do see it frequently because it's incredible, because it's just Andy Reid kind of dabbing. Like, it's not a full, I was going to say a good dab. And you know, the is question could be dab? Asked, does that exist? Yeah and I don't know. Is
there a good dab?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I would. Here's the thing: if there is such a thing as a good dab, it's Andy Reid dabbing.
It's not a technically sound.
It's about as good as it gets.
It's not a technically sound dab.
I don't think the dab though is about the technical aspect. I don't think a good dab is necessarily technically sound. I think a good dab, you just know when you see it. It's got passion. It's got feel. It makes you feel something.
I mean, Andy
Reid doing a dab makes you feel a little something.
Makes you feel something. Yeah, all right. I mean, I don't really want to pick that fight. I
I'm
think
not saying
makes
it is a good
points.
Dab, but just if there is such a thing as a good dab, Andy Reid has a good dab.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get sound logic. I've got no retort for that. It's not a traditional dab. Fair? Is that fair?
Yeah, I can live with that.
But it is a great dab.
Yeah.
We've seen Andy Reid, you know, he'll get out there a little bit. But I first of all, also in that Juju audio, we probably won't circle back to this, but the amount that he throws Lamar Jackson under the bus by accident partway through that clip is absolutely fantastic. Like, oh, yeah, it's a really run-heavy offense with all the running backs he has. And also, his number one
refer to a tight end a lot.
His number one receiver last year is a tight end, so I wasn't going to go there because I want to catch passes through the air downfield. Now, then the question, you know, is that needs to be asked of, do you think Ben Roethlisberger can do that for you? And if so, what evidence do you have from this decade that could happen? But
I would say,
you know,
technically a yard is down the field. Technicalities.
Rudy, speaking. We're going semantic Rudy today. More like Rudy's semantics are.
I don't know if you still have Juju's numbers up. I closed the tab, but last year I think he was at, what, it was like 9.6 yards a catch?
Under 10. 6.1.
Okay, well, wow.
No, sorry, I bleeped up. 8.6.
8.6, yeah. So
8.6 last year.
Not quite down the field.
No. In 2019, it was still at least 13.1.
Yeah.
His 2018 was 12.8. That's 2018 is the year that if you're investing in Juju, you're looking at 2018. Which also, by the way, like, I don't necessarily think he played worse in 2019 or 20. At least maybe by some relatively minute measurement. His situations, though, changed immensely throughout those years. It was the last sort of fully functioning Ben Roethlisberger, closest thing to it we'd seen. And then it was Duck and Mason. And then it was last year's Roethlisberger and all of the things that came with that.
His yards per target has decreased since his rookie year. 11.6, 8.6, 7.9, 6.5 last year.
That's not what you want necessarily.
And again, I think I'm with you. I don't think that's necessarily his fault.
No, it's indicative of how he is used and how his quarterbacks have targeted him.
Exactly. Like, you know, 2017 Ben Roethlisberger was still a weapon at that time, right? Like, still had that ability to, like, buy time and at least push the ball down the field enough. He hasn't been that guy. And, you know, injuries and getting older, he's just not that guy anymore.
And the thing that really does hurt me is I think Kansas City, I was going to say Kansas City Smith-Schuster, but I guess that works. I think Kansas City Chiefs Juju looks a lot more like 2018 Juju. And it really bums me out that he's not going to be. Oh, boy. Oh, should I say the thing that I'm thinking?
Yeah, why not?
I don't actually.
Is it FCC allowed?
Eh, who cares?
Yeah, you know, live a little. No, I mean, I think I think Juju Smith-Schuster in Kansas City would be the best case scenario as to what the Chiefs could have hoped Mecole Hardman would develop into. And the reason that I even hesitate there is because I don't want to make Juju sound like I'm not going to use the G word. A player that, you know, had mostly manufactured targets last year. The G word is the word that, you guys remember that cartoon Inspector where that had all the extra little tools?
Yes. He was a detective of some sort.
The Inspector. You know, kind of what's another, like a doohickey, you know?
Yeah.
A doodad?
Like a doodad.
Inspector Jack of all trades.
I think I'm a Bob.
Inspector Jack of all trades is pretty good. I'm not going to call Mecole Hardman a gadget Swiss player.
Army Knife.
I'm not going to call him a gadget player. I don't think that's fair to Mecole Hardman. But I also don't think it's fair to compare Juju Smith-Schuster directly to Mecole Hardman without some sort of couching there. That's kind of the game I'm playing right now.
Inspector Swiss Knife? Swiss Army Knife?
Because I also think comparing him to Tyreek Hill wouldn't really do Juju any favors. So, regardless, I would have really liked to have seen that in Kansas City this year. Maybe the most interesting, like the takeaways from this for me are awesome. Because I believe a couple of weeks ago I made a sweeping, I can't say that we were going to induct all of these people into the Dork Club because it would have been absolutely overrun just so quickly. Mike from Duke and Darren Ravel would have been absolutely eaten alive by this swarm. But I think we gave guest passes to every Chiefs fan who likes Tyreek Hill's peace signs and backflips but didn't want the Chiefs to sign Juju Smith-Schuster because he's a distraction. All of those people got Dork Club guest passes at the very least. So I personally, this is off the field, and this is what particularly tickles my funny bone. It is hilarious to me that there were a contingent of people that thought Juju Smith-Schuster was going to show up in Kansas City and endanger the sanctity of the Chiefs locker room, and that he was a cancer. People were calling him a cancer, mostly on Facebook, but you know, that's mostly my fault for being on Chiefs Facebook. A cancer, though. That was the fear. They can't sign Juju. He's a cancer. And not only do the Chiefs give him an offer better than the one the Steelers gave him because they wanted him so badly, Andy Reid was out here legitimately basically sexting him. Just pictures of the Lombardi Trophy. That is football sexting.
I mean, it's true.
What else could you send that would be more... Not even getting into the phallic nature of the Lombardi Trophy. That's totally off the side for me.
Dirty Dan Sorensen picks.
It would have been Dan Sorensen.
That's rated MA for mature.
Dan Sorensen holding the Lombardi Trophy like a baby or something might have been. Yeah, at that point, I don't think you want to scare off Juju, right? Like, you can say, hey, you don't have to play this guy again, and here's the Lombardi Trophy that he's won with us. But not only was that not a fear, apparently, for Andy Reid, it was so not a fear that he was like, hey, somebody get me Juju Smith-Schuster's number. I'm going to start texting him pictures of the Lombardi Trophy. I think that's great. I just think that's great. I really do. It just makes me very happy. Because, again, I don't think we always see... We get a lot of press conference Andy Reid, a lot of coach speak Andy Reid. That's not the reason that players love Andy Reid. It's for the other stuff that we don't get to see because we're not in there. Same could be said for a guy like Bill Belichick, although I think they've got different vibes, obviously. But, you know, people go, how can players really like playing for Belichick? He's such a crusty old jerk at the podium. Well, yeah, because you're not playing for him. Like, it's a totally different environment. So I think that is funny. I am going to renew the Dork passes for, again, if anyone who didn't want the Chiefs to sign Juju Smith-Schuster but does think it's fun whenever Tyreek Hill, like, peace signs or backflips or whatever, which, by the way, I enjoy all of it. I'm here for, like, do a dunk and then do a pull-up on the rim. score a touchdown and then spike the ball over the goalposts and then do a pull-up on the crossbar. I'm here for pull a Sharpie out of your sock, whatever.
Moon the crowd.
Moon the crowd. Go dance on the logo in midfield. Cool. By the way, quick timeout. The Randy Moss mooning the crowd thing, whatever. Do you guys have any idea what year that was? Late 90s, early 2000s?
Late 90s.
I would say it was somewhere in like 99 to 2001, something like that. I don't know why that's what's in my head. Something absolutely crazy to me.
2004, playoff.
Something absolutely crazy to me. I think if I ask you guys, you'll know the answer to this. So I'm not going to ask this question, but like, that was a enormous bombshell thing, right?
It technically happened in 2005, 2004 season because it was the playoffs.
That like, we still talk about that. We remember that. That was huge. He pantomimed a mooning. How did that?
The kids,
that was
Josh.
The
kids.
The children.
Josh, kids are grew up and they went to jail.
Because Randy Moss.
A life of crime of mooning other people.
Pretending to moon other people.
Yes.
Moon other people.
The kids, though, they took it another step.
I did have a kid.
They actually mooned people.
I did have a kid on my high school football team who.
They're serving life.
On the bus. To a game or back from a game at one
Depending
point.
On your demographics, of course.
I think it was to a game. On the bus to a game at one point. Someone was in the car behind us who was like related to the team in some way. And
now
he did moon them through the back of the bus window.
Now, when you say you were on a bus to the game, are you talking about...
I couldn't even... Here's the thing. You know what,
they're doing
Rudy?
So
I don't care about the construction. You were trying to get your joke in before I even told the punchline of my story, and then you bobbled the ball trying to make your joke about how I was on the bus to my backyard because
I
was homeschooled.
I wasn't bubbling it. You took off your headphones and was like, what is that?
Anything.
And
I didn't make any noises.
I know, but I was just pointing like backwards.
It's the construction.
It's
I
like,
know.
Hey, construction.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, go moon yourself. Yeah. Make your joke.
I'm good. You made it.
Beards is telling us to break. We've been doing the show for like 3 minutes. Somebody's cutting marble in the background. I can't get my story out. I won't let Rudy get the punchline out. It's a little hot in here. Rudy thinks it's perfect.
It's a little hot.
Rudy thinks it's a little toasty.
A little toasty. Like if I was in my room, I would have a heater on. Once it gets to this point, I'm turning it off to cool down.
Beards, why don't you crank your mic real quick? Or just turn it up.
Oh, that's the fan.
Not this time.
Fan's actually much louder.
That is a beautiful, beautiful noise. There's a second takeaway from the Juju clip that I think is worth spending some time on. But because I don't want Beards to go get that bandsaw and then come in here after me with it, we'll take a break. Whenever we come back, I'll tell you the other thing that I think is really interesting and really worth talking about, worth noting with the Chiefs' near miss on Juju Smith-Schuster. Assuming that there's no acts of violence in the studio between now and then, we'll talk about it whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Dodgeball is fun. I like dodgeball. Even though I was homeschooled, I would just get a basketball and then I would just throw it at my little brother. Just like
I was gonna say you versus your dad.
Just walking around
at the age of eight.
Right.
How'd that have gone?
Right.
Boom!
My dad just winds up with
Joshua.
A soccer ball. Yes.
All right, you gotta go to the nurse. Walk into your mom's
room.
Mom,
my eye fell out. Dad hit me in the back of the head with a soccer ball 80 miles an hour.
That's Professor Briscoe to you.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Talking about the second Juju Smith-Schuster thing momentarily, but also just a bit of news for the show. I will put out the tweet of record at 7 or slightly minutes before or after tonight. If I forget, guys, this is me telling both of you and also the entire Twitch chat to remind me of this. At 7 p.m. tonight, I will tweet out the final AES on 810 Poke Bracket. The final four happened over the course of the last 24 hours or so. The final four of Charizard versus Gyarados and Mewtwo versus Pikachu has concluded. And the reason I'm going to wait till 7 to tweet out the next poll and the updated bracket is because then, tomorrow night, as the show begins, we can officially crown the champion of the Almost Entirely Sports Poker Bracket. We will also, we got a lot of show to stretch our legs out during here tonight, for a whole variety of reasons. And so we will definitely finally give the Poke Bracket the conversation that I believe it to be due at some point this evening. But do you guys want to know who won the final four matchups and who is in the AES on the hashtag AES on 810 hashtag Poke Bracket, Beards and Rudy?
Was it Agumon?
Agumon did not make it.
Damn.
Is it?
Dang it. Name another Digimon. Name another Digimon!
Blue Eyes White Dragon.
I was going to go Yu-Gi-Oh next. Yeah. The final is Harry Potter versus... It is... Give me a Harry Potter animal.
Hippogriff.
It is a hippogriff versus a hippocampus. Wow. What a final. If you don't know... We on this show, and then also with the help of a later continually recorded podcast, because it took a long time, we took the original 151 Pokemon, first gen, we pared it down to 64, and somehow Tauros made the cut. Didn't deserve it. Porygon really got snubbed, but Tauros made it for some reason. We seeded all 64. Me, Beards, and Rudy were the seeding committee. And we've been tweeting out the polls over the course of the last couple of weeks. I did forget about it for a couple of days in there, which is why we're ending after the college basketball championship game. You know, it's fine. It happens. The championship game is Charizard versus Pikachu.
Never heard of him.
I think if you would have made me pick what the championship game would be at the beginning, I think that's what I would have guessed.
Yeah.
They're both one seeds. I will say this. As a seeding committee, by the way, we did a pretty... I don't know if we did a good job, but the voters typically agreed with us. There were no huge upsets and very few even more minor upsets. I think three seeds made it to the Elite Eight, and then a two seed did, but like all the one seeds made it.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the one seeds made the final four. I think we did a pretty all right job here, gang. We can dig back into it more later, and I will officially tweet out the championship game poll question. The championship, yeah, I mean, it's a poll question.
Mm-hmm.
You can vote on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. I'll tweet out that hour, or tweet it out at the top of the next hour. So we will have the final winner at the beginning of tomorrow night's show at 7 p.m.
So 7, everybody in Twitch, just comment away.
Yeah, no, please do.
Go crazy.
Please do. Please remind me.
Because I'm going to forget. I'm just saying it now. I will forget.
They've already reminded you, by the way. There's been a couple people.
I do need that. I'm going to need that reminder, Twitch chat. I'm going to need that reminder at like 7:01.
Because
also Beards might hit Sports Center, so we probably don't want it to really go final to like 7:02.
You're asking a lot.
I'm hopeful. Eternal optimist. This is also putting a pin in it for later. At some point, we ought to just do a show therapy session where we all figure out the jokes that we make about each other that the other people really don't actually enjoy. Because I think we found Beards's, and I know
two of Beards's by far. There's easy two.
Doesn't hit Sports Center. Plays yes. games on baby mode?
No, that because I don't think that one's made enough, and it's. I think he even it's kind of funny. It's cyberpunk 100%. Anything cyberpunk related.
Yeah.
Like you can hear it when it's in a message form.
Yeah.
I hear the tone of his, like I hear the letters hit like on his phone a little harder. Even though we're not together, I hear
you
him.
Can feel that he typed that harder.
When the message is sent, there's like a little bit of force. You feel it.
That's really good. Beers is also taking a long drink of water from his comically large water bottle.
That's what I mean.
Out of his tails.
That's what I mean.
It's one of your Tells yes. beards. You hide. Jeez, sit that down again.
Well, they're doing construction back there. I told you.
It sounds like Beards is doing construction, sitting his water bottle down. That's incredible.
This is a good water bottle.
It sounds like you're drinking out of a helium tank.
It's pretty good.
It's not much smaller. That's incredible.
It just feels like a waste to have like a water bottle like that good for water that's just at room temperature.
Ooh.
No, it keeps it cold.
Beards likes water or warm Coke.
No, I put it in the fridge over here, and it keeps it cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those bottles that stays cold for a long ass time. So.
I don't like the phrase long ass anything. that just sort of hit me. I don't care for that phrase.
Human Torch on Twitch says, Beards hitting Sports Center made me LOL. I didn't make the joke, Beards. That was Twitch. Just saying.
The other thing from Juju, the Juju Smith Schuster audio that we played an hour ago. Well, I played earlier in this segment.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. What did I say?
This segment.
Well.
This hour.
I was wrong.
Earlier this hour.
Sometime today.
I think it simply reinforces something that I believed to be true already. And I'm not sure this really even adds that much, but it brought it back to the front of my mind. They really wanted Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know if $12 million would have gotten it done. By the way, they've got like 13 right now in cap space that is not getting spent anywhere. And I don't love that. But this was a legitimate pursuit. It wasn't. And look, I think once money is on the table, it's legitimate. But the combination of they were really out there in the bidding war, they outbid the team that he ended up going to. I don't know what it would have been that would have got him back to Kansas City. Because frankly, if you think, hey, I'm going to make an extra $10 million on my next deal if I stay in Pittsburgh, even though I think it's flawed logic, but if that is your logic, well, the Chiefs weren't going to give him 18 to be here this year. I understand that. So I don't know what the math of there would have been. But the numbers and Andy Reid being on the forefront of trying to get him to Kansas City and also calling him and selling him on, hey, man, you come here and we're going to get you your catches and you're going to look damn good doing it, catching passes from Patrick Mahomes. And we're going to try to get you a ring that you can take with you to your next destination, or we're gonna get this thing done again next year. And frankly, I think Rudy mentioned this earlier. There's a decent chance that this is a connection that was not, that is not doomed to only be a one-year deal. I wonder if the Chiefs will be in on those sweepstakes next year. It might depend on who they draft and everything.
For sure.
But
and McColl's development. If all of a sudden McCole sure. Hardman looks like what they thought, then it's like, okay, hey, we don't have to go spend money on a receiver.
Yeah.
Unless Juju has a really bad year and they can get him for like $3 million. Then it's just like, hey, why not?
But
like,
absolutely.
But like, yeah, like it depends on what happens. If everything is the same next offseason as far as the receiving core goes as it is now, I would imagine that there's interest in Juju. I'd be surprised if there wasn't. Now again, the level will depend on a variety of things.
The only nit I would pick with that, because I agree with you. I wonder this either way. I wonder if they ever wanted to seriously entertain a multi-year deal. Because I wonder if Juju would have taken 3 for $30 even. Maybe it's a four-year deal, but only 3 years of it is real money, and that last year is still you could get out of it if you wanted to. I don't know what the math would have been. It may have been too rich for the Chiefs' blood, and Juju may have been determined to hit the market in a better year anyway. Yeah. That's all up there. The thing though that I do think at this point is pretty obvious. We mostly knew this already, but the Chiefs were really in on Juju, and they were really in on a handful of other guys. They let Sammy Watkins walk. That was a part of a plan. And then they brought back DeMarcus Robinson at a vet minimum. And that's fine. But I think it's pretty clear that there are really only two readings of the DeMarcus Robinson signing. It's just loud. One reading is that it's just the Chiefs having DeMarcus Robinson back, adding another little piece of depth and a dude who could be your number three receiver, maybe could be a number two in a pinch, could be your number two receiver with Travis Kelce being your real number two. You know, that's all fine. The other reading of it could be the Chiefs going, all right, well, we took a few hacks out here. We whiffed on most of them. And we got to take the next best option available. And right now to us, that's DeMarcus Robinson at a vet minimum. And so I think it's probably a little bit of a combination of both, where having DeMarcus Robinson back is not a huge positive, but it is a positive. Like, there's no other really reasonable read into that, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And also, if they had signed Juju, I don't know that DeMarcus Robinson is back. Now, what I don't think it precludes them from doing, and I'm like 65% sure I used the word precludes correctly. The thing I don't think it keeps them from doing is drafting a receiver highly. In fact, it might make it even more sort of telegraphed at this point. That I don't know if it's at 31, if it's at 60, whatever, 62, 63. I think they're picking 63. If it's at either of those two spots, and they say, hey, we can get away with Hill and Kelce and Robinson and Hardman and Pringle as we bring this dude along, and then halfway through the season, we hope that our first or second round rookie is getting legitimate snaps, and then in 2022, we hope he is our obvious number two receiver. It still means playing with a receiving core that looks a whole lot more like the group did with Sammy Watkins being injured than with Sammy Watkins being healthy. But it also is, you know, a reasonable way of sort of reinvesting in that position and making all the math work. I just think it's still tremendously interesting that they were very much trying to, once again, blow up the best part of their offense. I mean, like, inflate further, you know, not explode, but inflate it even more and double down on a strength and double down on giving Patrick Mahomes all these weapons. Also, we're here on April 8th, and we don't know who the Chiefs left tackle is going to be, and that concerns me a little bit. We may have some time to talk about that over the course of the next 3 hours and change the show. That's right. It is a four-hour AES tonight. We'll talk to Harold Kuntz in about 30 minutes, 40 minutes from now, whenever we come back. I don't know. Maybe I'll talk more about receivers. Maybe we'll talk more about offensive linemen. Maybe I'll talk about how we only had a minute in that last segment that's coming up because I didn't throw to break quickly enough in this segment and Beard is getting antsy. Maybe we'll talk about the thing that I really don't like, which is Beard's bullying me and taking a break before I want to. You know? I mean, we'll figure it all out. We'll hash all that out during the break. Or maybe we won't.
Take a break, coward!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We all have things in this life we can't fully explain. What's the purpose of life? Is there a God? And why did the Chiefs cut Jeremy Maclin?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I think I ask this question every time that liner gets played, but you guys remember the Jeremy Maclin thing?
Who?
That was so weird.
It was weird.
Like, he was like a priority free agent. It cost him a third round pick for tampering.
Yeah.
And then after, did he have two seasons? I feel like it might have been two seasons,
so.
But one of them maybe was like injury hampered. It wouldn't stun me if it was actually just like one. I think it was basically one and a half.
He was with the Chiefs for multiple seasons. Yes, two seasons. But yeah, he played 15 games in 15, 12 games in 16. He went from 87 catches, 1,088 yards, to 44 catches, 536 yards.
And like after that, he played a dozen games with Baltimore and then...
Just done.
And then was done. So, like, I mean,
It's not just weird. I mean, it's very weird with the Chiefs, but it's also just weird with the NFL in general because you're talking about still like just a receiver who was just turning 30. And 40 catches, 440 yards, which is what he did his last year in the NFL, is not like anything amazing. But you would think you would still get like another one-year deal somewhere. And he was just done.
And the Chiefs' leading receivers that next... It may have ended up being a cap thing that I don't fully understand. I don't know. I don't think it was that much cap space, though. The Chiefs' leading receivers that year were Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Albert Wilson.
Checks out.
And then Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
And then Demetrius Harris.
Oh boy.
And then DeMarcus Robinson still out here kicking.
D-Rob.
I just.
Whew, D-Rob. Know,
man, that was still
D-Rob
weird.
Hurt me when he was in college. He had some games against Kentucky, man. Whew. He hurt me.
Where'd he play again?
Florida. He hurt me.
It's just such a weird, every Kentucky football connection with Rudy is weird. And the fact that he knows
caught
every,
a touchdown as time expires to beat Kentucky, it hurt.
Where Travis Kelce played in college?
Cincinnati.
He knows.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.